7:30 p.m. Baby is asleep. Yay. 9 p.m. Read a book, have a light snack of toast with honey, and sip chamomile tea. Dim the lights in the house. 10 p.m. Get in bed. If you have a hard time falling asleep, practice relaxation breathing or another mindfulness exercise. Number 6. Your bedroom. We've met a lot of parents who put careful thought into arranging and furnishing their child's bedroom, only to forget about their own. You need a comfortable sleeping place, too. It helps your sleep to have a bedroom that feels welcoming, visually pleasing, and calm. Make sure you have a comfortable mattress, pillows, and sheets. Test out each before you buy. Cool and fresh air. Open the windows during the day if possible. Darkening shades or curtains to block out early morning sunlight. A calm space without piles of paper, computers, a treadmill. Yes, we've seen plenty. Bills or other work-related materials. The best practice is to not have a television in your bedroom, although we've met well-rested families who do. The issue with television is that it can cause you to stay up too late or to doze off while watching and wake back up again to turn it off and resettle. Assess whether having a TV in your room is disrupting your sleep, and remember, it has to work for both partners. Number 7. Rotate sleep-in mornings. A consistent schedule for weekdays and weekends is best. But if parents have sleep debt accumulated from the week, switching off each morning on the weekend so that one person sleeps in, even if it's just an hour on Saturday and one sleeps in on Sunday, is a strategy that works well. Number 8. Associate your bedroom and sleep. If you can't fall asleep after 20 minutes or so, get up and move to another place in the house where you can read a book or do something else that is relaxing. If you spend a lot of time awake in your bed, your body will start to associate that place with being awake. Number 9. Nap smart. Naps have major upsides and downsides, so you have to evaluate how they work for you. A nap can really help if you're tired during the day, and they're especially needed when your baby is really young. The best naps are short and early. Late afternoon naps can interfere with nighttime sleep. If you sleep only 6 hours at night and you can consistently nap during the day, that might be just fine. It's the siesta mentality. However, if you nap during the day, it will be harder to fall asleep at night because a nap relieves the sleep drive. This causes you to go to bed later and perpetuates the cycle of not getting enough nighttime sleep. Even a 10-minute doze on the couch in the early evening can make it harder to fall asleep at bedtime. If this is the case, try not to nap at all and go to bed earlier. We all have a natural low energy point in the day, usually the mid-afternoon around 2 or 3 p.m., because of our circadian rhythms. Around this time, many adults feel drowsy. This is often attributed to post-lunch sleepiness, but it's actually a lull in between two peaks of alertness in the circadian system. After this window of drowsiness has passed, even if you don't nap during it, you usually become more alert again in the evening. Maybe it's not surprising that parents need much of the same sleep advice babies do. Well, except for the parts about earplugs and alcohol. After all, babies are just small people. We all need a regular bedtime, a consistent calming routine, no screen time before bed, and fresh air and exercise during the day. We're all wired to sleep well, as long as we don't get in our own way.
Chapter 8. What is sleep? Falling asleep, staying peacefully asleep, long and healthy naps, all are rooted in your child's biology. When you understand a few basic principles about how sleep works, you can use this knowledge to help your child sleep better at any age. In this chapter, we'll take you through the basics of sleep science so you can understand the underlying mechanisms of sleep and use this understanding to set up your child's sleep schedule and improve naps and nighttime sleep. Just like language or motor skills, sleep matures over the first years of a child's life. The biology of newborn sleep is distinct from older baby sleep, which is different from preschool sleep, and so on. As your child grows, the patterns and physiology of her sleep will change. Knowing what's going on in her brain and body will make you better able to support her sleep development. The two processes that regulate sleep. You've probably watched your newborn baby flicker awake and drift off again almost instantly and randomly throughout the day. This switch from sleep to wake to sleep again is controlled by a basic brain mechanism that acts much like a seesaw, moving your newborn in and out of sleep during the day and night. As she grows, two main processes begin to regulate her sleep and continue to do so for her whole life. The homeostatic sleep drive and the circadian system. The sleep drive is like pressure that builds the longer you're awake and then releases when you sleep. The circadian system is made up of internally driven rhythms that are approximately 24 hours in length. You'll see here how these systems interact and influence when and how long your child sleeps, and how the best sleep will happen when the two are coordinated. The homeostatic sleep drive. The homeostatic sleep drive is very simple to understand. The longer you're awake, the greater the drive towards sleeping. For adults, after a day of being awake, the pressure is great enough that you become drowsy and fall asleep. Or if you didn't get enough nighttime sleep, the sleep drive might be more intense and allow you to nap. The sleep drive in babies and children is very strong, and it builds quickly. The sleep drive has a powerful influence over your baby's nap schedule because babies and toddlers build up pressure to sleep over just a short amount of time. If they don't nap sufficiently, they can become irritable, less capable of learning, and more resistant to falling asleep. Napping relieves this pressure. This is why your baby is often ready to sleep after 60 to 90 minutes of being awake, and your toddler after 2 to 3 hours. Parents are sometimes astounded that their baby could sleep for 12 hours, be awake for 60 minutes, and fall asleep again. But even with a good night's sleep, the sleep drive builds quickly during the daytime hours. Practical takeaways. Don't be surprised by your baby's need for frequent naps. Sleep drive builds very quickly in babies and young children. Be aware of your baby's optimal awake span between sleeps. Put your young baby down to sleep after each 90-minute span of awake time during the day. Even a short nap, like 10 minutes or less, reduces the sleep drive. Keep this in mind when your child sleeps in the car or the stroller. It can make it harder for her to fall asleep for a regular nap, since the sleep drive has already been relieved. With a toddler or older child, taking a brief nap in the late afternoon can make it harder to fall asleep at bedtime. Napping continues to be very important for children until about the end of preschool, in part because their sleep drive is so strong. If children don't nap, they're less able to regulate emotions, learn, and think creatively. The circadian system and the internal clock. If the sleep drive was acting alone, you would get progressively sleepier and sleepier over the course of the day. That's not the whole story, though. The other system regulating your child's sleep and your own begins with a powerful internal clock nestled in the brain. This clock is a biological pacemaker that controls the circadian rhythms, which are roughly 24-hour cycles, allowing us to anticipate the light-dark pattern of day and night. It's the same type of clock that causes a morning glory to open with the sunlight or birds to sing in the morning. The internal clock sends us messages throughout the 24-hour day, influencing sleep-wake patterns and many other biological processes. As night falls, body temperature begins to go down and levels of the drowsy-making chemical melatonin rise in preparation for sleep. Toward morning, the activating chemical cortisol rises. During the day, the circadian system opposes the sleep drive with activating signals so that you don't just get sleepier as the day goes on. There are two peaks in alertness during the day, one in the morning and one in the early evening. In between these two peaks is when most adults feel a little drowsy, usually in the mid-afternoon. This is when children who nap once a day take their nap. At bedtime, alerting signals from the circadian system are withdrawn, sleep drive takes over, and the circadian system helps us stay asleep, even as the sleep drive becomes less strong as the night goes on. When your child wakes up in the morning, experiencing the first rays of sunlight and starting to eat and play, it's akin to pressing start on the internal clock. From this point forward, when she's drowsy for her first nap and when she's ready for bed later that evening will be influenced by when this start button was pressed. Your child's rhythm is also influenced by regularity. Going to bed at the same time every night, waking up at the same time every morning, and napping on roughly the same schedule every day keeps the circadian system in sync and helps her be alert and drowsy at the proper times. What time your child is alert and what time she's drowsy? The circadian system naturally makes your child alert or drowsy at different points during the day. Interestingly, the drive towards sleep is quite high in the morning at your child's wake-up time, and it continues to be high for another few hours, for example, from 6 to 9 a.m. for a child who normally wakes at 6 a.m. This is called the circadian sleep maintenance zone, and it's why babies and young children can easily nap soon after waking up. On the other end of the day, there is a wake maintenance zone, also known as the forbidden zone for sleep. This is a period for a few hours before your child's regular bedtime when it's harder for her to fall asleep. This is a second wind, a time when your child's circadian system is making her more alert in order to counteract the homeostatic sleep drive. If you notice that your child seems sleepy in the afternoon, but around dinner time miraculously gets her energy back, this is the forbidden zone in action, winning out over the sleep drive. If your child has a regular bedtime with a calming routine and dim lighting, her circadian system will withdraw its alerting signals and she'll become drowsy at that bedtime. Now the two forces are working together. Since the circadian system drives alertness for a few hours before bed, this may be why babies usually have a longer period of being awake at the end of the day, and why they tend to take shorter naps or be a little more fussy in the late afternoon. The internal clock is accurate, but it doesn't keep to exactly 24 hours on its own. The average clock length for adults is 24.2 hours. Therefore, we have to reset it each day and keep it at 24 hours with exposure to sunlight in the day and darkness at night. This process is called entrainment. The internal clock has to be somewhat flexible because the length of the day changes with the seasons. A clock set to wake you up with the sun in April would get you up well past sunrise in May. That's why it's built so that it can be constantly readjusted or entrained by external cues. All this is vitally important when it comes to understanding sleep patterns that can be very precise. For example, your baby wakes up almost on cue, yet subject to getting out of sync when external cues, like light on at night, too much activity by other family members, and so forth, are changed. When the internal clock develops. A fetus does have a rudimentary circadian system and shows daily rhythms, for example, in heart rate and activity levels, sometime in the second trimester. But this is thanks to the signals of mom's hormones, such as cortisol and melatonin, not to the baby's own internal clock. When your baby enters the world and is no longer influenced by mom's hormones, he loses his sense of night and day. His newborn circadian system on its own is immature. Brand new babies tend to sleep on and off without much of a day-night pattern. Their sleep is fragmented. But every day after he enters the world, your baby's sense of a daily rhythm continues to develop. Research suggests that even a newborn circadian system is sensitive to light. At about 6 weeks, infants start to have an increase in evening melatonin, which makes them drowsy. And at this age, most infants are more active and awake during the day than they are at night. By around 2 to 3 months of age, babies have more pronounced rhythms of sleeping and waking, and their natural sleep onset is more or less coupled to the sunset. That's why we encourage you to put your baby to bed early. They also now have a circadian pattern of core body temperature. This is important because low body temperature at night is a natural component to sleep. All these are good factors for sleep development, and as time goes on, your baby continues to consolidate sleep at night and be awake for longer periods during the day. Artificial light, electronic gadgets, and sleep. Modern life is not very sleep-friendly. While our bodies are naturally programmed to sleep as night falls, artificial lights keep us awake and entertained much later. Light suppresses melatonin, a chemical that normally rises as we become drowsy and ready for sleep. In particular, short wavelength light, which appears as blue and is emitted by many electronic screens, is the most disruptive to sleep. This kind of light has been shown to suppress melatonin and delay sleep onset. If there are bright household lights or your family watches screens and electronic gadgets up close in the hours close to bedtime, it can make it harder for you to become drowsy. Artificial light can affect sleep in people of all ages. Practical takeaways. You can't rush the development of your newborn's circadian rhythms. Regular sleep takes time, roughly 4 to 6 months, because your baby's nervous system is naturally maturing. You can help this process along by exposing her to indirect sun in the day and keeping light and activity low at night. Your child is exquisitely attuned to light cues. Use this to help him set his body's clock by getting up roughly at the same time every morning, napping at the same time, and going to bed at the same time every night. Get out and exercise during the day. Manage artificial light in the evening so that you don't confuse your child's biological clock and suppress melatonin. Dim the indoor lights 60 minutes before bed. Keep your child from using electronic devices such as tablets and computers before bed, and keep electronics out of your child's room. If you have a nightlight, make sure it's very dim, and ideally use a red bulb. Red light does not have the strong effect on the circadian system that blue light has. Don't turn on bathroom lights in the night. Use a nightlight in the bathroom instead. Put your child to bed early. This is the way her body is naturally programmed. Block early sun rays with darkening shades or curtains. Sleep cycles, REM sleep, and non-REM sleep. You've probably heard of REM, rapid eye movement, and non-REM sleep before. It takes time for children to develop these clearly defined sleep stages. Your child's sleep architecture will be similar to an adult's at around age 3 or 4. While young babies sleep, they move through stages described as active, which is the precursor to REM sleep, in which babies twitch and make sounds and facial expressions, and quiet, which is the precursor to non-REM sleep. During quiet sleep, your baby's breathing is regular and his body is very still. This is deep sleep. Mature, non-REM sleep has distinct stages, but it takes roughly 6 to 8 months for your baby to develop these. Baby sleep is active. Roughly 50% of a newborn's sleep is active, and little babies can move directly into active sleep, whereas children and adults move through non-REM sleep before entering REM. This is why if your baby falls asleep in your lap, you might see her eyes flutter, mouth grimace, and arms and legs twitch when she does so. She's more easily roused while in this type of sleep. In adults, muscle movement is inhibited during REM sleep, thankfully so we don't act out our dreams. But this full motor inhibition takes time to develop, so babies move their arms and legs quite a bit. This active sleep can last for 20 minutes or more before your baby transitions into a quiet or deep sleep. Active sleep, or what is eventually called REM sleep, slowly decreases until roughly age 3, when it makes up 20% of sleep, as in adults. Sleep cycles are shorter. Infant sleep cycles are roughly 60 minutes. It's not until around school age that your child's sleep cycles will become 90 minutes, like an adult's. Babies are noisy sleepers. Does it sound as if there's a tiny dinosaur in the room? In active or REM sleep, newborns can be quite mobile and vocal. Young babies have a natural tendency to twitch a lot during REM sleep, and they can move their arms and legs, breathe irregularly, and make all kinds of funny sounds. This is sometimes strange or concerning for parents, but it's normal for your baby to make sounds at night, and it's important to know that this doesn't always mean that you need to help her or pick her up. In fact, learning to discern your baby's sounds at night is really important to her ability to develop self-soothing skills. If your baby snores, gasps, or snorts a lot while sleeping, this is important information for your pediatrician, so he or she can rule out sleep disorders like sleep apnea. Do babies dream? Babies spend a huge amount of time in REM sleep, the stage of sleep when dreaming occurs in older children and adults. Newborns spend about 16 hours asleep each day, and roughly 50% of that time is in REM sleep. That's a lot of potential dreaming time. Some think that babies do dream, with simple images and experiences. A dog barking, a twirling mobile, a nipple. Others believe that dreaming develops over the years as the brain matures, and that as children grow, their dreams become more complex and rich with thoughts and feelings. Did you know? Every species sleeps, but we've evolved and adapted our own best ways to do so. In a pack of sleeping ducks, the ones on the outside will sleep with only half their brains, so they can keep watch for the rest. Dolphins and whales are also known to put half their brains to sleep at once. Adult sleep. Adults cycle through four stages of sleep. Stage 1. Your eyes are closed. You're at the threshold between wakefulness and sleep. You can be easily awakened in this stage. If you are, you may not even know you are asleep at all. Sometimes people have the sensation of falling. This is called a myoclonic jerk or a sleep start. Stage 2. This is light sleep, in which your heart rate becomes slow and your body temperature begins to go down. Slow wave sleep. Now you're in deep sleep. Your blood pressure and heart rate go down and your breathing slows. It's harder to wake you up. A lot of deep sleep happens in the first part of the night. REM sleep. Roughly 90 minutes after falling asleep, your brain becomes active, but voluntary muscle movements are inhibited. Brainwaves are faster and less organized than in non-REM sleep, and the eyes scan back and forth under the lids. REM is the stage of sleep when most dreams occur. As the night progresses, you experience more REM sleep. This is why you're more likely to dream toward morning, and why most kids' nightmares happen in the second half of the night. Mindfulness exercises for parents. You're knee-deep in dishes, running a bath, reviewing your mental checklist for tomorrow, and maybe even manning the needs of multiple kids at once. And now we're asking you to be attuned? It sounds like a tall order, but we have a well-researched tool in our corner that will make it possible. Mindfulness, or the practice of being aware and present. Mindfulness techniques are at the leading edge of research, showing powerful effects on health, like lowering blood pressure, boosting the immune system, improving mood, and more. Only recently have we been able to understand from a brain science perspective why and how mindfulness helps us in so many ways. The research on the power of mindfulness is so compelling, it only makes sense to learn about it and apply it to your life as a parent. It is your direct route to attunement. If you're a busy parent, the idea of being in a calm, curious place may sound impossible, but modern exercises for growing mindfulness don't require you to sit cross-legged and still. They are portable, and any activity can be used as meditation. Let us introduce you to the kitchen sink meditation, because if you're like us, you spend a good amount of time there. Yes, you heard that. We're going to help you strengthen neural connections while you're rinsing those sippy cups. It's very easy. The next time you're washing dishes, focus on the feel of the water in your hands, the sound of the water flowing, and the warmth and suds. Be in the simplicity of what is happening, only in this one moment. Direct your mind away from your to-do list, your worries, what is stressing you, and toward the sensations in your environment. It takes repetition. At first, your mind might wander over and over. The more you do it, the better you become at it. This is like a mental muscle, so you have to practice. There are many ways to meditate. The key is finding ones that work best for you. The goal of meditating is to practice it every day, even just for a few minutes, so that when you need it, you can draw on those strengthened brain pathways to make a new, thoughtful, more aware choice. Keep it simple. Work it into your daily routines, and you'll be surprised to find your awareness naturally increasing. Here are some doable ways for parents to meditate. During each of these, inhale and exhale through your nose. Bed meditation. Before anyone knows you're awake, sit up. Focus on the air moving in and out of your lungs. Cool on the inhale, warmer on the exhale. Body scan. On each breath, check in with one body part, working from the top of your head to the tips of your toes. On each exhale, relax that part. Notice where you hold the most tension and repeat those areas a few times. Relaxation breathing. Focus on your breathing. Lengthen your inhales and exhales. Notice your chest and tummy expand on the inhale. On the exhale, feel everything release. Let gravity help you let go. Walking meditation. Focus on the pressure you feel on the soles of each foot as you walk, what you see, or the sounds you hear in the distance. Just let the sensations enter your awareness. Push the pause button. At a challenging moment, practice pausing. Do nothing. See what it feels like to not react automatically. Eating meditation. Focus on a bit of food, the taste, the textures, the aroma. Let the sensations enter your awareness. Jon Kabat-Zinn has a famous meditation on eating a raisin. This one can completely change the way you enjoy food. Sleep meditations for parents. Belly breathing. Lie on your back with your hands flat on your belly, just below your waist. Focus on the rise and fall of your hands over your belly as you take long, slow breaths in and out through your nose. Try to gradually lengthen your breath and take as long to exhale as you do to inhale. If you find yourself thinking about your to-do list or worries, gently bring your attention back to your breath and your hands rising and falling on your belly. You may have to direct your attention back many times, and that's okay. Breathing meditation. Inhale to the count of 8. Hold for 4 counts, and then exhale, letting everything go. Feel a complete release on the exhale and sink into it for 2 to 3 counts. Repeat this until you fall asleep. Keep your mind's attention focused on your breathing and gently refocus your attention if it wanders. Peaceful place. Bring your attention to an image of a place or a scene you find calming. It can be anything. Your favorite beach or vacation spot, clouds in the sky, the steps of a dance routine, mentally decorating your home, lying on the ground and looking up at a tree. It's very individual. The idea is that if you really explore the scene in your mind, it directs and focuses your attention and leaves no room for planning, worrying, ruminating, or other mental activities that might be keeping you up. Gradually, you'll feel your mind and body relax. Body scan. Slow down your breathing, and on each exhale, focus on and release completely one small body part. Start at the top of your head and release every part of your face, neck, shoulders, arms, torso, pelvic area, legs, all the way down to your toes. Feel your muscles in each body part relax and let gravity release them down into your mattress. If you're still awake when you get to your toes, start at the top of your head again. You can repeat body parts that hold the most tension, such as your eyelids, forehead, jaw, shoulders, chest, and belly. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of The Happy Sleeper, the science-backed guide to helping your baby get a good night's sleep, newborn to school age. Written and read by Heather Turgeon and Julie Wright. This program was directed by Maureen Monterubio. Executive producer, Diane McKiernan. Text copyright 2014 by Heather Turgeon, MFT, and Julie Wright, MFT. Production copyright 2018. Penguin Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.